just to start with. Find it. Matthew 7:21-29. Don't feel put off about the first bit. The first bit's a little bit difficult, but it's going somewhere. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many works in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as one of their scribes. So basically, he's saying here that if you're building for the future, which I would imagine that everybody is, whatever plans you have, make sure that those plans are submitted to God. Some of you in this room will remember this church from many, many years ago. There'll be some of us in this room, if God doesn't come back, who will know this church and be aware of it many years in the future. If the Lord doesn't come back, I believe that there'll be a congregation here in 2030 AD. That is 11 years, 2040 even. A big church on this site or somewhere else, but the future is going to happen. And the future will happen whether you plan it or not. The future will throw itself on you. And the Bible says here, what Jesus says is here, is when you plan for the future, when you plan for the next decade, build your life on the rock that is Jesus. Build your life on Jesus' principles. It almost may mean sacrificing other things. And if various things come your way, it's basically, I think it's important to say, God, here is this thing which I want to do in the future. I give it to you. Because we all get dreams. And the dreams come at you. The dreams are thrown at you. The desires come there. And the thing to do, what Jesus says here, is if you want to be in the right place before God in the future, if you want a successful and fulfilled life inside, build your rock on Jesus. And I'm going to explain what that is in a moment. Many, many years ago, I've not always been in Ealing. I used to be in Derby Community Church. But I used to walk past the Ealing Pentecostal Church in Derby. To start with, I didn't know what Pentecostal meant. I thought Pentecostal was just a nation of people. And if you're part of that nation, if you're part of the Pentecostal nation, you can go to it. So that's sometimes where I think that our church names can confuse people, some people, not everybody. But I found out what it was, and our service didn't have an evening service, so I'd go along occasionally to Ealing Church. And there's these two guys sat up on the stage. It was a very traditional place. There's the pastor, an assistant pastor, and they were sat on the stage. And I'd look at them thinking, well, yeah, I like God. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I believe God is calling me into ministry in some way in the future. But I could never be like them. They've probably got college degrees. They look really posh. They're smart. And I'm not like that. Now, at Ealing Conference last week, one of them's retired. The other one is now a friend of mine. They sat on the front row. I'm sat behind them. We're passing mints around and chatting and joking. It's the same two people. And I'm thinking, I said, God, I want to give you the glory that I remember how humble and worthless and rubbish I was back in those days. I saw those two men up there. Not that any man or woman should be placed above anybody else. But I thought, I knew that you had called me into a ministry of some kind. I submitted it to you and you spoke to me. And Paul comes to the end of his life and looks back. So here in 2 Timothy 4:6-8 simply says this: I'm already been poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who've loved his appearing. So at this point, he's now looking back. This is Paul. Paul is looking back at his life when he wrote to Timothy, and he's looking back, aware that there's very little physical room left on this earth for him. And he's looking back and saying, I have done this, I have done that, I have done this. So what would have happened with Paul is that at some point he was called Saul, he led the wrong life, God came in, he allowed God to change him, he changed direction and followed God and followed the life that God had for him. And I would say to you, that depending, there's people of all ages in this room, and some God will call some home sooner than others, but in the year 2020 or 2030, if God grants it you, would you look back up the previous years and look at it and said, yes, I fought the good fight, I finished the race. In other words, not so much what you do, but are you doing what God has called you to do? Will you get to the end and miss it? You see, for years and years, I felt God calling me to do something particularly, and I resisted it. Now, for me, the particular call was in ministry, but for you, it may be something else. And I'm aware that the sermon last Sunday morning was about the parable of the talents, and I don't want to go so much into that. But what I'm saying is that you're going to build for the future. The future will happen. The end of this year, we'll go into a new decade, 2020. And it's going to happen. 1st of January, 2020 will happen. And the 2nd of January and the 3rd of January. And before you know it, you'll be in February. Before you know it, it'll be 2021. Before we know it, it'll be 2030 for those who are given the grace of God to live that long. And we know from recent events that that could possibly be nobody in this room. We're given this day. We're given this day. But what I get myself when I see this and when I see the Word of God is that particularly when Jesus was talking in Matthew, is that we need to build our future on the rock that is Christ. That will mean sacrificing something. That will mean maybe not immediately jumping into something which you think is right. When you submit it to God, guess what? When you submit everything to God, God quite often gives you that thing back anyway, or he gives you something better. In Luke 5, 27 to 32, there's a man called Levi. Now, Levi is mentioned in two Gospels as being Matthew. Two other Gospels don't say that he's Matthew, but we assume that from the whole text. And there's this Matt guy called Levi, Luke 5, 27 to 32. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So in the vein of building for the future, Levi sat there and he's doing ABC for a job. Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me." And not only did he follow him, he made a massive feast for him and said, "Come along and be with me." So when Jesus talks about building for the future, he wants us not just to follow his rule, but to make a feast for him and say, "God, I am now jumping in and giving everything to you and trusting you. Because if I don't, I know that any alternative that I choose that isn't your will is not going to work." And I believe that every single one of us in this room can continue to build our house on the rock, build our future on the rock, and take the attitude that Levi took when he said, "Yes, I'm going to follow you." At any point, you might be sat here today with disasters of all types having happened in your life, and yet God says to you, "Come on." You know, I got back from conference the other day, and I went for a walk. I go for a walk every morning. I went for a walk, and I said, "Lord, give me strength to face the weekend." Now, the reason I said it was because I've been relaxing for a week, and you know, you've got to sometimes get your strength up to do this type of job or any job. And God says, "I'm not going to do that. I'll give you strength for today." I said, "Okay, God, give me strength for today." And I thought, all of a sudden, I was strong, spiritually, happy, and joyous. God gave me strength for Saturday. And then I got up this morning, I said, "God, give me strength for today." And God's done it. And that's what God does. You could be facing the most difficult thing, but what Jesus says here is build your house on the rock. In other words, build on Jesus. If you're building for the future, keep Jesus and his principles and his will for your life as part of that. Levi heard this call from God and he did something about it straight away. What would have happened had he resisted that? Would it have changed the whole of Scripture? I mean, goodness knows, thankfully he did. I was working for a co-op department store back in the days when those sorts of places used to exist. Now, because of the internet, of course, co-op department stores don't exist anywhere, or many. And I worked in the paint mixing department, and this was when I was about 16. And they had a cafe next door, which was part of it, and they also had a travel agent the other side, all part of the co-op group. And in the cafe were different posters everywhere of different parts of the world. And I remember sitting there some days having a bacon sandwich or whatever it was and a cup of tea on my break, and there was a big poster that said the Philippines, 7,000 beautiful islands. And again, I thought, brilliant, I'd never go to a place like that. I haven't got the money, you know, I'm not even smart enough to get on a plane. I really saw myself as coming from a real low part of society. But God, in his wisdom and mercy and in his sense of humor, has caused me to go to the Philippines on mission, short-term missions, about 8 times since that point. I just think that when you submit everything to God and say, God, I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to invite you to my house and have a banquet with you. Now, that means just giving God your time, worship. It'll mean something different to you than it does to me. Just see what God does when you submit that to God. I'm kind of rushing on a little bit, but just another one here. Jeremiah 29, 10 to 13. It simply says this. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll visit you, I'll fulfill you to my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you'll call upon me and you'll pray to me and I'll hear you. You'll seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. And I'll restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I'll bring you back to the place where I sent you in exile. Quite simply, God's plans for us are absolutely incredible. God's plans for us are amazing. And even though right now you might not see everything, you might be in just a big cloud in the middle of your life and uncertainty over medical issues, family issues, anything else. I believe that if you, as Jesus said in Matthew, build your house on the rock, build your future on the rock, trust God for everything and say, God, what days you're going to give me, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I am going to trust you. I'm going to put your principles first, and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to display the character of Jesus to others, and I'm going to try and spend time with you, even though some days Christianity may not seem real to me. Maybe I will have fallen in some way and not feel good enough. We know we're justified completely, 100% and irreversibly by the blood of Jesus. You know, no one can snatch that away from you. But God, in that darkness, is saying, I am still here. And I still have a future for you. For Elim Conference, I travelled up with Richard from Wello via train. Now, I travel that far on train rather than driving my car, because one of the reasons is it's just easier. I'd rather sit in a train and do some work and have a cup of coffee rather than drive. And it's North Yorkshire, it's quite a long way. So Jackie took me up to Winchester on the Monday morning, met Richard there, and we went on the train to Waterloo, two tube stations, train stops, high-speed electric train to Leeds, and then a train between Leeds and Harrogate. Now, the train between Leeds and Harrogate, and I'm sounding a little bit like my friend who knows more about trains than Dave's brilliant, because I was on a train coming back from Worcester once, and I was coming into, I think it was Basingstoke or Oxford, somewhere like that, and the certain trains were cancelled, and so I rang Dave. And Dave's on his computer at home with a massive screen of the train network of the whole country. And he says, well, there's one behind you that's going to Bournemouth. You get off the platform and get one. Or there's another one. So he knows the whole thing. So sometimes you need Dave. But this particular train line between Harrogate and Leeds is incredible. Because halfway along was this massive long tunnel, underground tunnel, called the Bramhope Tunnel. It's about 2.5 miles long. And it's quite scary. Now, I remember travelling on that the first time, and this is part of all this, don't worry, where we're travelling through, and halfway from Harrogate to another line, there was a power cut in terms of the lights inside the train. So this lady comes along and says, I need to tell you, it's really, really important, you need to be aware of the fact that the train will be in darkness at some point soon. We're in a 2.5-mile underground tunnel, which kind of goes down under the village of Bramhope. And I get a bit nervous on the London Underground. So, and then she was coming along and she said, you know, well, behave yourselves and hang on to your wallets and don't sit too close to the ladies, gentlemen, little things like that. And so we went through this tunnel. I was in there in complete darkness. You couldn't actually see much. There was a bit of a light towards the front where one light was flickering. It was just darkness. And I thought, when would it end? And after a while, we came out into brilliant sunshine. And the trees were there, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And I believe that's what God does. When we trust him. See, the voice of this woman on the train was saying, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. We'll be out soon. And we came out of the tunnel and was in. And I believe God's saying to you that if you are in a tunnel, continue to build your house on the rock. Continue to put the principles of God first. Continue to do that. Just carry on day after day. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep trusting. Keep forgiving. Keep believing in other people. Keep reconciling yourself with other Christians. Keep trusting God and keep believing for the future. Yes, there are times where you'll need other people to prop you up, but keep doing that and build for the future. Because building for the future, I mean, one of the themes of this conference was not just maintaining your own Christian faith, but taking ground. I believe God will call us to take ground. I was chatting to, where's Mary Harrison? Where is she? Mary Harrison may, if God speaks to her deeper, share something tonight about your trip to the Holy Land. I think I said to you, didn't I? I said, we were talking in the back in the prayer earlier, and you said, I don't have the strength to do that or anything like it. And I said, I don't have the strength to do this job, but God gives me the strength when I trust him. You know, and you'll be amazed what you can do and what God will do when you submit everything to him. He might bring you out of the tunnel into the bright sunshine a lot quicker than you would imagine that he would do so. And God loves delighting us. God loves surprising us with good things. Quite often at the time where we're not expecting it, when we're least expecting it, God can do the most amazing things. Matthew 7, again, 21 to 29 says that, 24 to 29, we'll miss the first bit. Everyone, man, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or woman who built their house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat in the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So the rain will fall, the wind will blow, and the things that go wrong, the things that happen in life may continue to, but build your future on the rock. When I get up in the morning, I build my day. I don't let the day come to me. You know, I woke up this morning and I mean, some of you may have watched Eurovision, but I didn't know what had happened with Eurovision or anything else like in the news until I'd had my quiet time. I thought, I'm going to bring God into it first, so when everything else floods into us, when it said, oh, Britain came last, I thought, oh, whatever. You know, and little things like that. But, Britain came last. Terrible. Doesn't surprise me. There we go. When you, if you, in the morning, you might think, you know, I'm going to read the Bible, get something out of it. I'm going to trust God and see what he does. So basically, building for the future. Building for the future. Now, the first, there's five bricks I believe we need to lay. I was going to do a PowerPoint, but it doesn't matter. The first two bricks are obvious. Number one, be converted. Be converted. You know, for God so loved the world that gave us one only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe in the Lord and you'll be saved, you and your household. Acts 16, 31. So, I mean, this is obvious to people who believe this, but for anyone building for the future, you need to be converted to follow Jesus. A guy came up to me outside yesterday in here and said, can you pray for me? I have this particular problem with this person who's bullying me and blah, 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 and give me the whole story. I know that this man is not a Christian and has been resisting becoming a Christian for a while. So I said to him, I will do that, but the thing you need to do is to give your heart to Jesus and follow him first. That's the first thing. Get there, sort that out. And I've been saying that to him for years. So the first thing, the second, brick number two, be baptized. If you have followed Jesus with all your heart, and if you are at an age in, we normally say above secondary school, but we look at everything on its merit, in most occasions as an adult, if you have been saved, then Jesus said you need to be baptized. Jesus was baptized. I'm not better than Jesus. So when I became a Christian, when I was 19, I had some class for baptism, and I got baptized. So believing and being baptized is the most important thing. So now, hopefully, to most of you in this room, those two obvious things, building for the future, like Jesus says here, is firstly be converted, secondly baptized. Bring number three. Don't be put off by the past. Because things happen in the past, and they have to be put on a certain shelf. Don't let the bad things that have happened in the past rule you. And also, don't do what I do all the time and say, oh, I've seen it all before. Because if you think you've seen it all before, you'll see nothing else. I sat there at the conference and I thought, go on then, entertain me. And God said, sort yourself out. Be open to listen. So I thought, you know what? You're right, God. You need to have me humble attitude. You know, I don't care if I make it to 115. I will let somebody who is 12 years old instruct me in the word if God decides at that point that I should listen. We need to get new stuff all the time. Don't be put off by the past. So what I did, see, I always used to think that I was too good to take notes in sermons. I thought, I'm just a little bit too better than everybody else. So if I go somewhere else. But God said, from now on, whenever you hear anybody else speak, at home or elsewhere, take notes. Because then you can get stuff from me, and it can be something new, and it can help you. So I'm taking loads of notes, and I'm going to write a summary and let you all have the summary of what I learned when I was there. So don't be put off by the past, because things happen in the past. I mean, if I said to anybody, all of you in this room, has anybody in this room ever had something bad happen in the past, all hands will shoot up. All of you. Because you've all experienced different things. Don't allow that bad stuff to dictate to you and change your life. Yes, it's there. Yes, you need to share with other people for prayer. And yes, it helps you to have the wisdom to know how to counsel other people. But don't be put off by it. Brick number four. Be aware of what God is saying to you. What is God saying to you personally? So in the case of Levi, and in the case of when Jesus spoke to everyone in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is saying, build on the rock, build on the rock for future. And there was a demonstration of there when Jesus comes into Levi, and Levi says, yes, I want to follow you completely. What is God saying to you personally? Did God say to you in 19 blah, 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 you will preach, you will do this, you will do that, and you haven't done it yet? Ask God, you know, I've not done this, help me. What is God saying to you? Is God saying something to you? Please don't get 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the future and be in a place where God is still saying that to you. If God is, I met a guy at a conference who was training the same time as I was about 11, 12 years ago, and he'd still not decided to go and follow the call of God that God had specifically called him to do. And I just felt particularly sad because he gave all kinds of reasons why he couldn't. And I didn't judge him, but I want to say to you, is God calling you to do something? Is God saying something to you? You will find out that if you respond to that, you know, God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. I mean, that's a bizarre story in our culture. But the fact is that God called Abraham to do something, and Abraham, very early next morning, did that thing. You know, and Isaac himself was a teenager. You know, he would have had to be compliant in this whole thing. You know, so the whole thing, the entire family got behind the call of God. And I must say to you, what is it that God has said to you that you haven't done? You are not too old. You are not too sinful. You know, so if that, you know, if you feel there's something, just go to God. There's all kinds of things that you could tell God that you could never share with me or anybody else. But be aware of what God is saying to you personally. Is he calling you to do? I mean, different things with us. God's been speaking to us all the time. I mean, when we came to Romsey, I want to tell you now, it was a supernatural call of God. I'll tell you exactly what happened. I mean, it'll be 10 years on the 28th of August that we've been here. But I literally remember being beginning of January 2009. I was in the bath, Jackie was on the computer, and said, blah, 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 from Helium has send us this email. There's a church near Southampton, place called Romsey, blah, blah, blah. We'll need a new pastor soon. And now, when you know when you buy something on the internet or you do something, as Jackie does occasionally, or as that's been there, you sometimes have to enter a password, don't you? And it's like XJ's gobbledygook. And Jackie went to this site password, and the password it gave her, miraculously, was Romsey. You never have English words at all before. It's just mixed up words. It was Romsey. And so we took that. And, of course, from that point onwards, Jackie was looking at all the shops in Romsey on the internet. And but I said, God, if it's wrong, if you've got somebody else for this job, I'll do it. I'll clean toilets in Guernsey or wherever. I'll do what you want. But I tell you, if you want me to clean toilets, I'll be the happiest toilet cleaner in the world because you are right at the centre of it. And, God, as I build for the future, I want you to be the centre of it. And brick number five, finally, be determined to write God's story as we go into the next decade. Will you look back at in 2030 and say, well, back there in the, you know, in 2018, 2019, God said A, B, and C to me. And I found it difficult, and I didn't think I was good enough, but I responded to it. God put that. You know, I've had somebody, well, I just shared this morning about and shared it with real passion, because he means it positively, but about the call of God, you know, getting beyond the mission and being part of the mission in a way that God wants to speak to you. But God wants you to write God's story as we go into the next decade. I had a reputation in Derby Community Church in the first year of being there of being a gossip and a backbiter. That was my reputation. And because I would always say, oh, the leadership never do this, the leadership never do that. When he said this. And somebody took me aside, this Indian guy, a guy who used to be a Sikh, became a Christian, and was kind of a mentor for me. He took me aside and said, we love you, but you have a reputation of being a gossip. And I said, now, right, the story that I'm going to write from this point onwards will be a different one. I said, Lord, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't realize that I was doing that. And I changed it. And God gave me the strength to change. And God then encouraged me to be more compassionate and more. And I get it wrong sometimes, but I'm getting there. I mean, that's not an issue, but sometimes I slip up in that and other areas as we do. So, for building for the future, five bricks. Number one, be converted. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Number two, be baptized. Don't ask why should I be. Jesus was baptized. Brick three, don't be put off by the past. Whether it was good or bad. That happened. The bad stuff happened, okay. Get counselling, get prayer, we'll deal with it. But don't let it stop you doing anything for God. The good stuff happened. It was brilliant. We know that. It was incredible. The Welsh Revival happened in this country where 100,000 people, or 800,000 people in 3 or 4 months became Christians in South Wales. And it was brilliant. But things are still going to happen in the future when we write God's story.